Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm gonna need some time.
Send up a signal when you're ready. We'll go out.
But it looks like Orcus.
It was hard to miss.
You want to punch that face?
Oh, I don't think you should punch him right now. That seems like a bad idea.
Unlike you, I have no desire to be near the loins of any god.
But you know your mission is to warn Bahamut before this happens.
Yeah, aye, Captain. Let's go.
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah, Celestia sounds like a walk in the fucking park compared to what's going on out here, so.
This explosion of sound, you land in this lush green field at the basin of this massive wide-mouth river. There's a waterfall that's pouring over, and you turn and you look up, and you see this huge mountain range that stretches high above the clouds.
This is it.
That's awesome. But did you guys see how I landed? My fist was on the ground.
We're going up a mountain, guys, so I'm glad we've all been in training.
Oh, are you sure it's pulling you up the mountain and not around the mountain, through the mountain?
And a goth just starts walking towards the mountain.
Follow you, just like a trail of like misfit, like has no business being there, people. Behind the only person who looks qualified. And Glim.
Goliaths do love mountains.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him. Also with me today is Amy Moore.
Yeah, I'm here too. She, her, and I play Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot halfling rogue.
He, him. I said the whole thing, you guys.
I was going to say, do we all have to say the whole thing?
Yeah, you've really set a precedent
now.
I set a very high intensity awkwardness that I expect everyone to match.
Perfect. Tom, go!
That's me. He, him. I am playing Moot. He's a half-orc wild magic sorcerer who also goes by he, him.
I mean,
is that what your anxiety sounds like?
I know, it was still so calm.
I mean, everybody's anxiety
it.
Sounds... This
I mean, I was sequestered away today for budget day all day, so I'm just excited to talk to people.
Doesn't matter what it's about.
Fair enough.
Carla Maxted.
She, her. I'm playing Glim, Dragonborn Paladin, also she, her.
And Kristen Flemons.
Hello, I am playing Agath once again, and for your information, Agath is a mixed class cleric fighter with level 5 in cleric and 13 levels in fighter.
Sounds right.
So much, boom.
So much fighter.
And like 100% badass.
Ooh, Carla.
See?
We're the same person.
Badasses are our patrons.
Yes.
You know where you can find badasses?
There it is.
Over on Patreon.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast/badass.
No, badasses. I don't know.
I don't know what's over there.
Don't confuse me.
I'm going to look right now.
We're going to check out to see where we've sent you and see if we can get that
URL.
See who
has badass.
Yeah, right. Badass. Oh, we're going badasses.
Oh, it's
Ooh, you got to be 18 plus. Sorry, everybody.
Naughty.
And not sure what they're doing over there.
Don't know.
/badasses, but.
I'm not willing to click.
We can probably guess. Don't go there. Go to where Carla said, Dumb Dragon Cast, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where now when you're a patron at the $5 tier and up, you will receive an ad-free feed of Dungeons & Dragons.
That's right.
It's newish.
That's newish.
I say ish because it's probably been out for a few weeks by the time we get to this episode, but it's newish. The patrons asked and we answered. But also when you're a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Justin Johnson.
Thanks, Justin.
Johnson. Thank you. Also, 100%
fantastic.
Badass.
Thanks, Justin. badass. Badass Justin.
Justin and, Badass Johnson.
Whoa.
There it is. I like it.
And now, fuck it, let's play.
Harpgliss. I'm assuming. I don't know where the gods live, but
That's
right.
I don't know. Zydeco music.
Oh, that would be so much.
Polka.
That's such there a different is. Vibe, and I love it.
We can make our own world, you guys. That's
what I'm into
this
it.
It's about.
It's a beautiful and sunny and warm day as you wake up in your makeshift camp in the middle of a clearing. There's a trickle from a creek nearby. There's birds chirping high in the trees. You hear the scuttling of wildlife through the forest, and everybody is just opening their eyes on this picture-perfect morning.
Yeah, does anybody else have to pee like 24/7 because of that creek over there?
Guys, I know sometimes I can be a downer, but isn't this place like the best ever? And also the most beautiful? And somehow it smells so good. Like warm vanilla, but also sandalwood, but also like fresh cut grass?
Yeah, it kind of smells like my childhood, like, you know, like campfires and, you know, just a little bit of disappointment because I wasn't sure what I was going to walk into, but, you know.
Yeah, really good. Like that sort of
sad. Like maybe the smell is different for everybody because.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Agoth, what's it smell like for you?
Freshly sharpened swords. Mostly that.
Oh, so just your favorite smell, I assume?
It is pleasant.
Oh, Moot, you got a scent up there in your sniffer?
Mostly just cinnamon buns.
Mm. Oh, sorry, that one's me.
Delicious.
Oh, do you have cinnamon buns? I would love one.
Well, it depends how we want to answer that question. Do I have cinnamon buns? No. Do I smell like cinnamon buns? A little bit.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's super fun.
Why?
Would it be?
No, what? Mm-hmm.
Would it be rude?
I want to ask, but I don't want to ask.
Could I just?
Is it?
Like your natural? Do goblins smell like cinnamon buns, or is that like a you thing?
It's a regional thing. And it comes out in this here, not the darkest timeline. Before the darkest timeline, when we're in the darkest timeline, it kind of smells like rotten sour milk. You might have noticed that aroma following everybody around. It was in the vicinity. Nobody can pinpoint exactly who or where it was coming from. But now, it seems, because everything is beautiful and pristine, that the cinnamon buns are back, baby.
You didn't have to grab yourself like that. You did it.
When you have to know where it's coming from, you have to point it out.
Okay.
Some people's buns are more endowed than others with the cinnamon.
Perhaps we should have a different conversation.
Agath is like packing the last thing into the saddlebags, and I was just like, "So we are leaving? Yes, this." Is concluding.
Oh, we were going to take like just a little dip in the stream? No. Okay, yeah. I got my things packed too. You packed them already. Okay, yeah, let's rock and roll.
Everybody follows Agoth.
I'm like, what?
Is there a path or is it just like open enough?
Right, I kind of feel like that's it. Everyone knows where they're going in Celestia, or you're already where you need to be. Yeah.
Or just when you start going, you are magically put upon the right path for you.
As we start walking, does the Zydeco music swell?
It does. It does, yes. It's as if it's coming from everywhere and nowhere all at the same time.
It's coming from within, I think.
Like the cinnamon buns.
Kristen's face. Just for, disappointment.
For some scenes, I just wish we were a visual medium for Kristen and I got
exclusively. The look of disappointment.
I know.
On everyone's face at the same time. It's really a shared experience we wish the listener could get in on.
You set off back through the forest and in the direction of Mount Celestia, which is looming in presence ahead of you. You crest down through some hills and are following along this path. And Flamekin skips up to a goth who is ahead a ways, perhaps, scouting position.
So, you kill any undeads?
Oh, was that not a joke?
Well, I'm just trying to relate. It seems like we got off on the wrong foot. Maybe we start again. I'm trying to talk about something that maybe is in a little more in your wheelhouse. I killed many an undead, but I just wanted to hear about your favorite one. Nundead.
They're undead nuns.
That's right. It's a real problem.
They're one of the worst. Yes. I have lost count. Although I have found that when you cleave them vertically...
Ooh.
It is quite entertaining to watch the two halves separate, but have the limbs still going for a little while. It's
kind of like the chicken in the head thing where it runs around a little
exactly,
bit.
Yes.
Interesting.
It is a great source of comedy where I am from.
Very cool. I'd normally try and put explosives in them somewhere and have them just missed.
Do you not find the...
Mist. The ichor?
Unpleasant.
Well,
it gets in the nose and the eyes.
It does get in the orifices.
The smell lingers.
That's probably that sour milk smell that we was talking about earlier.
This could be a component.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really when you're trying to blend in with them, though. Doesn't it seem like maybe it's good to be covered in the ichor of your enemies?
I have rarely... succeeded in blending in anywhere.
You are very tall.
I am.
And I'm on the top of your horse.
You are.
Is that okay?
Roll for Rex.
Roll for is it okay?
Is high good or bad in this circumstance? I'm going to say he's rolling tolerance.
Okay.
He rolled like a 16, so...
So he's tolerant?
His eyes are, like, watching and maybe some, like, huffing, but he's not
Flamekins acting. Is, like, running her fingers through his long, luxurious mane.
That is his weakness.
Yeah.
See, we're going to... I feel it. We're going to be the best of buds. Right, everybody?
Yeah, I know.
You
I know
betcha.
What I'm talking about.
The three of you who are not distracted specifically by Flamekins at this moment, roll perception.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, 15.
That one.
Okay.
Is that my that's this one, yes. 15.
And that's your passive perception. Oh. I told you to roll perception.
Oh, well, that's just a 5.
12 for me, Russ.
Okay.
Oh, we're perceptive as fuck.
Yeah.
It's happening, you guys.
It seems like you've been traveling for a while, and it doesn't seem like you're getting closer to your destination. Like, you've been here for probably better part of a day and a half, walking in the solid direction towards the mountain. But it doesn't seem like you're making specific headway.
Guys, is it just me? And it might just be me.
Yeah, it's probably just you.
I don't think the mountain has, like, changed size. Shouldn't it be bigger? Shouldn't we be getting closer to it as we go?
Well, when I used to be a drawist, we had something called perspective. And that is when you get closer to something and it does get bigger in size, but, like, not really, because everything is usually not you, Moot. Sometimes you're bigger, sometimes you're smaller, but... usually things stay the same size, but when you move your body closer to something, it oftentimes not you move, not always. Sorry, what are you saying?
Well, I'm just saying that we've been walking for a while and we seem to be walking towards the mountain, but it's not getting any... We're not getting closer to it.
Ah, it's not following the rules of perspective. It could
yes,
be, we could
exactly.
be right upon it, and we would not even know, because perhaps it is changing sizes as we are. Maybe it is shrinking as we are walking to it. Eventually, when we get there, it could be nothing but the tiny, tiniest. Perhaps it is a tiny mountain. Some Glim, stop me. I don't. I think I've talked to myself in a circle now, and I'm not entirely sure.
So, I mean. Moot, now that you bring it up, I definitely, okay, so I have like, I'm pretty aware of like my pacing and how quick I can move, even, you know, if I have other like not quite as fast people with me. But you're right. We've been going for a long time. We've just been like walking and walking, and it's beautiful and it smells great and everything is pretty fantastic. But we should have been at the mountain, at least closer to the mountain, right? I feel like it looks like it's still as far away as it was.
As someone who's proficient in mountains, would I be able- I'm just assuming that that's
sure.
a thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That totally tracks.
We did so well on the mountains yeah. last time. Uh-huh, so uh-huh.
Yeah. So would I have had a sense of maybe how long it would have taken, it should have taken to reach said mountain based on where it looked like it was when we started?
Yeah, Goth would probably have a very good idea of, you know, probably would have taken, in general, a couple days based on where you started to get to the base, at least the base of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So you two, in the midst of trying to make sure that Rax is okay and that Flamekins isn't smelling in any particular vicinity, would,
I'm trying to avoid yeah. all knowledge about Flamekin smells.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, that's, I mean,
it's the best way to live your life.
Good luck. Yeah. But also,
good choice.
Yeah, you two would likely have picked up on the fact that you're not gaining on this mountain in any rate whatsoever. And as you kind of clue into that and are trying to figure it out, you notice that it's getting to be dusk again. And there is a forest up ahead that looks like it could make a good camp.
Is Celestia like the Fae realm, where maybe sometimes you have to walk away from things to get closer to them? Is that one of... I'm not well-versed in...
Well, you and Glim like can like talk to your gods and stuff, right?
Not anymore. Well,
But now, because we're not in the bad
but
place.
Maybe now.
So I'm
now
just
we're
thinking,
back?
Could you guys maybe like phone a friend? Phone a god. Can you like talk to a god and just be like, can you pick us up?
Divine Uber?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the god Uber. It's the goober. Yeah, so maybe that's something that, because I mean, it's supposed to be helpful, right? Like, it's a whole reason you commune with your god, you help them, they help you.
Character sheets are being scoured at this moment.
Haven't talked to my god in so long.
But also, like, for a goth, like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have these characters hopped back and forth between these timelines a bit, or if they've been stuck in the worst timeline for a long time as well.
We've lived through it. We didn't
continuous
get
continuous characters.
Yeah. We lived through the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I feel like, for a goth, like maybe this, like maybe her face kind of glazes over for a second, because it's been so long since she even thought about the ability of connecting with her, like actually speaking to her god and having that be a possibility. It's been 13 levels since she ever did that.
Four score and 13 levels ago.
So much has happened. Like, I think if you're paying attention, it might actually look like a flash of fear across her face of like, holy shit.
Am I paying attention? I want to know.
Are you paying attention? Sure.
Yeah, can I?
Roll attention.
What? Is that just perception?
Yeah.
15.
Yeah, you're paying attention, I think.
Well, it's all right, because I'm pretty sure they'll answer.
Right. Great.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll
literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
I said a lot of hurtful things.
God doesn't know that yet. Or do the gods know? Do they exist outside of time?
I'm not going to add layers to this. Forget I said that. Forget it.
Night's coming really quickly.
I mean, Bahamut doesn't know what's about to happen, and we have to warn him. So he can't fully exist outside of time.
In that way, she solved it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. You've solved my God puzzle. Thank you.
Hurrah!
We should make camp, perhaps, and consider the existential quandary after shelter has.
Yeah, I mean, darkness means camp, but I swear to Bahamut, didn't we just...
Well, I feel like...
Like, this hasn't been a whole day.
Well, we didn't even stop to eat lunch.
Yeah.
And I know. Because Moot hasn't said anything yet, and he's usually poking me, asking me when we're going to stop for lunch.
Well, it's kind of gotten to the point where I'm just cranky now, so it's best to not...
Yeah, we've noticed.
Okay, all right.
So it's almost lunchtime then.
You're for like an hour past.
Hangry Moot means almost lunch. Good. Now we have an idea based on your stomach timeline, like kind of what time it is, but also darkness falling. So like make camp.
Eat lunch.
But then eat lunch.
Sleep.
And then figure out what is going on here.
That's probably good. But like also maybe call your gods. Maybe. Just for a hint, right? Because, I mean, gods don't like to tell you all the things, right? They're going to be like, oh, the answer is within you. Or something stupid like that.
I don't really...
Like a commune with...
Think, because you're right.
Do you have the book on you still?
Yeah, but...
Maybe there's like a hint. Maybe it's like a choose your own adventure. You should really be reading to the very bottom of the page.
Ah. Well, if you just hold your thumb on the page that you turn from, you can go back. It's fine.
Oh, that's... Amy does not like that. That is cheating.
Oh, I always did that.
Yeah, 100%.
Carla, I see you trying to find something on your page. Would you like us to hold to find said thing, or do you all want to go at least start making camp?
Oh, Agath is definitely making camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're making camp and like, okay, I guess it's night, but we know it's not really, but let's set up camp and then figure it out.
Agath is setting up camp with the fevered energy of somebody who must work in order to avoid their own mind.
Yeah, you make your way into this grove of trees ahead of you and find a clearing, and it's quickly dark, and you set up tents and make a bit of a fire in the center. You're preparing lunch or dinner or any sort of snack in between to satisfy Moot's hangriness. And all of you begin to feel tired, like it's nighttime.
Hey, I was thinking, you guys, has anyone seen any animals? Like, I heard some animals. I thought I heard some animals, but I don't think I've actually ever seen animals.
A squirrel.
Oh,
runs
fuck
through
it.
The
Never
clearing.
Mind. Look at that squirrel go. Look
Looks at
it go.
You. Gives you like two thumbs up and then heads back into the tree.
Oh, excuse me, squirrel.
I'm going to try and shoot it.
Oh, shit. I'm like, excuse me, squirrel. You're like, dinner.
Roll. What are you hitting it with and roll to hit?
I don't know, a bow.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I've got a light crossbow.
Okay.
Yeah. You throw a war hammer at it. No big deal.
It's stew meat.
22.
Oh shit!
Yeah, at a good distance, it cleaves through it, and the two thumbs up squirrel just looks two thumbs down as it goes as it goes
split
limp.
It in half vertically.
Somehow,
just thumbs are going all over the place.
Oh, poor Sully! It's like, excuse me, Mr. Squirrel. Oh my god!
Wow, that escalated quickly.
What if that was a talking squirrel who could have got us out of trouble?
So you was asking about a squirrel or an animal, and then there was a squirrel there, and then the goth was like, "I can't deal with existential gods crisis. I need to kill something." And now we have a snack. Gosh, I'm tired.
But also, if it was a talking squirrel, wouldn't it have just talked to us and not given us the two thumbs up?
I don't know. Would you talk to us? We kind of
would you
like,
talk to a squirrel?
What? Yes.
Well, if I was a talking
Maybe
squirrel,
shy.
I might talk to other people.
Maybe he's an introverted talking squirrel, and he just
you know
was
what,
like...
though? Remember that time that we met that that fire elemental that was... And I juggled for them?
Oh, the earth elemental.
The earth,
yeah, I wasn't there, but I heard that story.
Yeah, the earth... So I'm very tired. It's so nighttime.
It's so nighttime.
It is so nighttime.
And I juggled for it and like made a connection. I, you know, maybe I could have been like, can squirrel friends, could you take us to the secret place? But
a goth's eating it already.
I see that.
Yeah, I was gonna say she's cleaning it, just like ripping the skin off and spitting it over the fire. The whole,
you know.
Listen, I know she's not part of a trio usually, but like I think we gotta like calm down. I got the you okay.
I mean, trio, what are you talking about? We're a quartet.
Uh-huh.
Just gnawing on the squirrel.
Raw?
Like ear of corn. No, no. Oh. It cooked fast. There's not much meat on that thing.
Yeah.
It's really lean. You can't overcook it.
Oh,
it gets
enough.
Really tough.
You can. Yeah. So you're 30 seconds on each side. You're good to go.
Oh, I haven't even done my nighttime workout. I'm so tired.
Do some of the yoga. You know, stretch it out.
It's just weird. I usually... Yeah. Because we... Oh.
Flamekins is asleep. You see Rax curling up in the corner, going to sleep.
Really something strange going on with time. Do you think when we traveled in time, we made the days shorter?
I don't think we could fuck up Celestia like that.
God,
you all find yourselves... crawling into your respective bedrolls.
I'll see you guys in the morning.
You wake up the next morning, and it's a beautiful morning. You hear the sound of birds, and crickling brooks, a crickling stream going down the side.
A crickling stream?
A crickling.
I have never heard a stream be described as crickling.
Well, you haven't lived, Amy.
Right?
There's a crickling creek just off to the side.
No, it's not. It wasn't stream or creek that had an issue with crackling? Crickling. Crackling?
I mean, it seems like...
Now I'm really noticing that crickling scream.
It seems...
Scream.
I know.
Scream, oh God.
Oh.
There's a group of squirrel family members who are gathered around.
Paying their respects.
The carcass. Just tiny screams are being heard. But also, it's a picture-perfect day, which is what I'm trying to get at here. Hmm. You all stretch and wake up. The squirrel family carrying off the carcass of their deceased family member.
Was there a crickling stream when we went to sleep? Or are we back at the same crickling stream that we woke up at yesterday?
Make an investigation check. Anyone
I'll
who
wants
to.
I'll investigate that.
Oh!
It's an 8 minus 1, so...
It's brand new.
That's an 18 minus 1.
It could have some similarities.
Yeah, I think this might be the same stream that made me have to pee last time.
How's it making you feel this time?
I gotta pee.
Oh, it's probably the same stream then.
Oh, well, maybe we could take a dip in it this time and clean off some of the smell of the day.
I think.
God, why do I always shut down conversations?
I'm going to look in my book and see if there's anything. I mean, I can try and commune with Bahamut, but if I do that, am I going to... I'll be talking to Bahamut here, and, like, is that going to mess up us warning him? And then are we...
Oh, my gosh. What if you just commune with him? What if you just commune... Well, like, what if we are, like, doing too much work right now? You could just be like, warning... Warning, Bahamut, I was sent here from the future by future you. Watch out! And then, like, it's done.
Okay, well, plan B. So plan A, I'm just going to look in the book. Maybe there's, like, a map or something.
Yeah.
What's in the book, Russ? Tell me. Anything? Anything new in my fantasy?
Is there a reading rainbow?
There's nothing new in your book if you're looking for new entries. No new entries.
Okay.
All looks the same. No previous map of Celestia was ever mentioned. There is no map currently.
But out of Flamekin's backpack, there's just like this, I'm a map, I'm a map, I'm a map, and then...
Get back in there! God, not you singing map! You don't have any place here! We talked about this earlier!
Well, I'm going to go and investigate this river here that keeps making me pee.
I'm going to walk over to the creek, the stream, the river. I am unsure of how big it is.
It's big enough.
It's big enough.
Yeah. Perfect. You walk over to it and it's crystal clear water. It's nice, cool. Looks like it's coming down from some sort of glacial stream.
Ooh, I want to put my hand in it.
It's crisp on the skin.
It's hot.
Hot spring.
It's confusing. It's coming down from a glacier. It's boiling hot. Roll for damage. Jesus.
No, you put it in, it feels like it's washing off
the
smell of the day.
Guys, I'm just going to take a quick dip. Wait, we recollect that we have been walking toward a mountain that is getting no closer, right?
You know that you are in Celestia trying to make it to the mountain to warn Bahamut.
But are we aware of the conversations that we had the previous night about how, dang it, this mountain don't seem to be getting no closer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a quick dip. If we're not getting to the mountain anyway, I mean, it's not like we're in a rush.
And I'm going to take out...
He strips down.
Oh.
Hops in. He doesn't have modesty.
No. We've all been around each other for a long time.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have a specific spell... that would be helpful in this case.
Okay.
But I will take out my holy symbol and, like, try to commune. You know, I don't know. You know there's, like, spells where you can ask your god questions and stuff? I don't have those. I didn't make those choices.
Okay, but you want to talk to your god. You can commune with your god.
I mean,
roll religion.
Okay.
And let's see if you can commune with your god.
I can't, guys. This is a 13.
A little rusty.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also rusty.
Describe to me the scene, though. 13 doesn't necessarily mean a fail. You're in a magical religious place.
True. I think that I am going to... Yeah, I have my holy symbol, which is like a small tooled piece of leather that I focus and I kind of sit crisscross applesauce and just am meditating, thinking about Bahamut, trying to, you know, express my love for him and see if he can give me a sign.
What is a goth doing, thinking, or feeling as Glim is attempting to commune with her god, who previously had, you know, made an appearance in the Darkest timeline, but is now trying to do so actively in this new timeline?
Oh, I think a goth is as far away from this as possible.
Guys, I knew we should have fixed that giant pit we had in the recording studio, but we didn't, and that's just kind of what happened.
As someone who is on the Zoom call that was happening on, it did not transfer well for us.
I bet it sounded so good.
I bet it's great on your
recording.
End, but ours was like very like,
it was like
it started
a mime.
Out okay.
It was just
disappeared.
Rust doing a mime act.
Yeah.
But I bet it recorded perfectly.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are in the middle.
And it will make more sense now that we're in the middle and we can say why I did that.
Why did you
Perfect.
Do that?
Well, let me tell you a story about myself, Amy, and Tom.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about how your life got flipped, turned upside down. Yeah.
I thought about it, but then I was like, that's not where we're going with this.
Fair.
Tom, Amy, and I, Carla was busy and didn't want to.
That's not true. I think I rock, paper, scissored her for it.
To. No, she did. She did want to.
I mean, rumor has it Carla had no interest. No.
Oh boy,
no, we wanted to have Carla there, but we could only have three of us because that's what made sense for this game that we played over on RPG. That's Realms of Peril and Glory.
Great name.
How can I describe the game that we played without giving too much away? Detective Noir.
Okay.
Trebuchets. That was the sound. That was me being shot by a trebuchet. Mm-hmm.
Right. It had nothing to do with the pit in the studio.
Maybe the trebuchet into the pit in the studio.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Okay. We're bringing the ideas together. And Baby Factory.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are three things that are wholly unrelated.
And fits perfectly. You nailed it, honey.
Carla looks so confused.
I know, I love it because I have so many questions.
Well, we can't answer any of them.
I just have to listen to the episode to figure out how. I mean, just even the first two seem very anachronistic, so I can't wait.
Well, you can listen to it right now because it released on Monday, March 21st, as we're recording this, because now it's the 23rd or beyond because of how podcasts work. You can go over to Realms of Peril and Glory, search for them in your favorite podcast app, or lightandtragic.com/YASP, YASP, which is the game we played. You arrive in a strange place, or you awaken strangely place, you awake strange.
You also
is you you awake
possum.
In a strange place.
You awaken strange place.
In a strange, you don't use well, the be, I from in and the a.
Oh yeah,
well,
yeah, but that would be
Y A
I A S P Y A S P.
You arrive in a strange place, or you awaken in a strange place.
But just go download it. There's a link in the description. It's easy enough.
It's real good.
And it's so funny. Run by the great James Barbarossa, who you might remember from Facing Fate, off-world, who is also over there. So go check it out. Okay, that's the end of the middle.
You want to get back in that trebuchet or?
Okay. Yeah. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. Somebody pull the switch.
Okay. What?
Aren't
Isn't
I
it
like
a lever?
Because I'm like pulling
it. It's a circular switch is what they,
yeah.
I'm confused about the seatbelt.
That's a great question.
He's also robots.
He's strapped in. Are you just going to slam yourself into the ground now?
clink. That's the noise of trebuchet. That's what, it's just a dainty clink. And
just the smallest of
clinks.
And now
that Russ is gone, why don't you just get back to the episode and we'll, I don't know, find him. Which we wouldn't really have to do because you seatbelted yourself to the
trebuchet. Because he's strapped in.
I love it.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Oh, I think a goth is as far away from this as possible. Distinctly the most awkward looking, uncomfortable Goliath that you've ever seen. Just like doing up and like undoing and then redoing all the bags on Rax's like saddle, like packing them, unpacking them, rearranging them, packing them again, like just like fiddling with bridles, like trying to find anything else to focus on. Doesn't really want to go for a bath with Flamekins and Sully, but
I just Sully said they went for a bath.
It's just me.
Flamekins just when actually clothes came off, everyone assumed Flamekins also got in there.
I suppose so. Yeah,
it's a fair assumption.
From the other side of Rax, like propped up, like hands across the saddle, like if Flamekins pops up, you can see that she's clearly not wearing clothes, but isn't exposing herself at this moment.
But is pressing herself against your horse.
Against the saddle of your horse, not the horse itself. There's boundaries, okay? It's been a while. I mean, maybe. Hey, you okay?
I'm fine.
No, you're not.
Would,
you know, look at you. Look at, just.
She pulls from somewhere a mirror, a piece of glass.
A mirror, and then you said a piece of glass.
That's right.
So,
yeah, that's what we said, and that's what we're sticking to.
Mm-hmm.
Look at yourself in this mirror glass.
I'd rather
you're
not.
Doing it because you're looking at me. Open your eyes. There's something up with you. You've been off since we've been here. You're not the usual Agoth that I've come to know and love here. We was connecting back in that dark times, and now there's something separating us.
Like if it was a cartoon and you could sort of see like that red coloration like like filling up the character as the smoke starts to go off the ears, like you can just sort of see like the pale like Goliath skin like turning, and like she grits her teeth. Fine, my god was dead. And since she was dead, I turned to vengeance.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
If she is not dead, I have betrayed everything she stands for.
So you didn't pick like one of them benevolent gods? It was like, oh, you made a choice based on the situation that you were in, and I understand that. Now I'm going to smote thee?
I doubt Eldath would ever smote. Oh. It's more of like one of those, like, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, but then, I mean, parents get over that. And, like, gods could probably get over that, too, especially because you came back here trying to, you know, not necessarily crush things, but warn things, right? Look at Glim. Glim's having a grand old time just rubbing that leather between her fingers, being like, hey, Bahamut, you're such a cool guy. I think you wear the best underpants.
I get the sense that Glim's relationship with Bahamut is not the same as perhaps my relationship with Eldath.
Let's just watch for a second here. Just turn your head. Just face your demons.
I'm just imagining, like, Flamekins, like, grabbing, like, a goth's face and just, like, turning
look
her head
it.
With, like, the smooshy
look
cheeks.
Open your eyes!
You are
What's Glim doing at this moment?
Yeah, still sitting crisscross.
I was imagining
hands, like,
her on
classic.
Her like front with her like she's got a magazine in front of her and her legs are kicking and she's just like gabbing with the gal.
That's so funny. I already said I was crisscross applesauce. But I think for sure there probably is some like kind of little tune in my head. Maybe still the Zydeco music has inspired me that I'm hearing everywhere. I'm just kind of like grooving along, quietly smiling, so happy. Just like big smile, wrinkles seem to be disappearing. Just like feeling the love of a totally still alive god.
And although you don't hear anything back, you do feel a sense of like empowerment and warmth. Like even as Bahamut came back in the darkest timeline, it was different, right? Like you felt the power come back, but you didn't feel perhaps the innocence of it that you felt all that time back, back when times were simpler.
Yeah, before I gave up on him, before I hurt my friend and finally gave up on Bahamut's return.
So, although there's no direct communication, there's no writing in the book, you do feel a sense of connection to Bahamut. Moot, where are you in this moment?
Good question.
Are you standing on the side of the bank with the towel open going, you're getting prunies?
I am doing a drawing of Sully splashing in the water.
Oh, God. Inappropriate. But he's posing. Like, he's into yeah. it.
Keeps jumping up to, like, be like, I'm a mermaid.
I'm a dolphin. Don't forget my deck. And I for sure have, like I'd have a swimming cap, but like as an eye patch, you know, because I don't want to get my good leather one all wet.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're doing this, and the scene behind you, which you're not really paying too much attention to, is playing out behind you, and you see like this creeping blackness beginning to roll down this crickling creek. There, I said it three times. It's a thing.
I love it. It's a word now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something creeks do.
And it's moving down this stream and towards Sully, who's splashing carefree.
Make sure you get my best side.
Maybe your best side is out of the water, though.
Well, yeah, but then it doesn't leave very much to the imagination, does it? Because if I put these river rocks in a particular, like, placement, I could get really artistic with this.
Well, yeah, you definitely could. But also there's, I don't think that's supposed to be in Celestia, and he points behind you at the blackness that's coming down the creek. Sorry, the crickling creek.
Sully turns around and is like, oh, well, that doesn't seem like that's going to wash off. And he clamors out of the creek.
As you clamor, it feels slipperier as you're climbing up these rocks, and you feel something grab at your foot, Sully.
Oh, no!
And it's pulling you back.
Moot,
you don't specifically see anything grabbing at him.
Okay.
Moot, something's got me. It's got me.
All right, okay. Yeah, I'll be right there.
Get it. Where are you going?
Just gotta get these last couple lines in. Yeah.
As you're getting the last couple lines in, Sully, you get pulled down, and you're like up to your waist. And being pulled deeper into like whatever this sludge is down beneath the river.
Oh, it's a gross, slippy stuff that I don't put my toes on because it's that gross stuff.
I want to take a river rock that I had in my hand that I was strategically placing on my junk, and I want to like hit at whatever has me.
Slam down on top of whatever this is that's got you by the foot and is pulling you deeper, and your hand gets clasped by it now.
Oh, fuck.
And your arm gets pulled down.
I'm like face underwater now.
I am reminded of Homer Simpson trying to grab his legs from the quicksand and pull them up.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
So at this moment, I think Glim's like, oh, and gets up. Like, guys, Fantastic news. Bahamut is definitely here. I communed. I felt his presence. I'm so invigorated. I can't imagine a more incredibly beautiful, perfect day. We're going to... Oh, my... Sully, are you okay?
No, we're not okay over here.
You better be recording this, Moat.
I'm going to try and rush into the water.
Yeah, I'm right there, too.
Let's all leap into action.
Okay, everybody rushes over, and Glim is first into the water. And Glim, you feel your feet being, like, suctioned down into this creek.
Oh, this is... It's so... Why is it so slimy?
You feel like... It's almost like hands that are grabbing at your feet and then now pulling you deeper into this sludge.
Okay, no.
Moot, are you still standing at the side? Or did you go into the water too? What do you...
I'm trying to figure out something to, like, pass Glim that she can grab onto and, like, pull herself out.
Tree branches, yeah, there's sticks, there's ropes, there's everything.
Everything's all around.
Yeah.
I'm under the water, I think, at this point.
Yeah, you've gone under.
Geth wrenches her face from Flamikin's
watch
hands.
It! Oh, wait, we should be watching that! Okay, let's go! Wait, I'm gonna get clothes on first. That's probably...
Really?
Ah, whatever. We've all seen it. Here we go.
Fight naked.
Rush over.
Toss a rope. Because I know exactly where it is because I've been really reorganizing.
Yep. You've done a good job. You toss a rope.
So organized.
You toss the rope, and it goes and it floats on top of the surface of the creek. Glim, it's just drifting down just slightly beside you.
Okay, I think I'm going to grab the rope and maybe tie it around me. And then, like, guys, I've got to get Sully. Maybe, like, tie me to a tree or something.
I will start affixing the other end of the rope to... Actually, you know what? I'm going to attach it to Rax's saddle so that he can pull out when the moment is ready.
And I think I will be like... I'm not going to stick my hand in because I saw that was a bad idea. So I'm like lifting my leg or trying to like knee around where I think Sully is so that...
Yeah, you're drifting. You're like sinking deeper the more you go. You try and lift your leg, and it's like it's suction to the ground. You can't lift it. A rope is drifting down. Glim, you're tying it around yourself. Yes, being tied around Rax. Moot, you've tossed another rope. The two ropes moving around. Glim, you're reaching for Sully. As you reach for where Sully is, your hands get suctioned into the schmuck.
Well, this seems bad.
Into the schmuck. There's just some jabroni down there just being a complete asshole.
Hey, yo, I got him. I got another couple. They came back to the Cricklin Creek. Oh.
Fucking schmuck.
Next time on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and we'll see you next time. No.
Guy Fieri.
Your go-to schmuck is Guy
Fieri. He's a saint, okay? He's a saint.
We don't say a single bad word about him.
Yeah. So where my hands... are now submerged, like, can I feel Sully, or do I just feel, like,
just
the creepy slime
the creepy,
phantom hands grabbing
which is now,
me?
Like, the creek around you is now all of this. Like, there is no clear blue stream. Moot, from where you're standing and you've got ropes going and are being tied to the horse, you hear, specifically you, Moot, you hear movement up in the trees.
Do I see anything to go along with this movement?
You turn and look and you think you see a figure move quickly up through the trees, like a small humanoid figure. You can't make out any distinct features, and it bolts through the trees.
Okay. Yeah, I want to throw a magic missile, or three in this case, into this like sludge water to see what happens.
Into the sludge water. Okay, cool. Love it.
Yeah, because, it's got my friends.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll cause a momentary reprieve.
Everybody else who can see a Glim, you're being sucked down, pulled under. Sully, you can't see any of this. Everybody else, you see these three magic missiles go and hit this ooze, and this eruption of blackness explodes up and over everything. And you all wake up the next morning, and it's a beautiful, sunny day. There's the sound of birds chirping up in the trees, and there's this crickling creek that's going off and somewhere to the side. Everybody stretches, and the dew just kind of rolls off the grass beside you. It's such a beautiful, lovely day.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 117. Starring Amy Moore as Sullivan Slight, Carla Maxted as Glim, Tom Laird as Moot, Kristen Flemons as Agoth, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Derelith, Lou Lahan, Charlie Warley, and L.A. Branton. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Instagram and Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
Are you writing Sully peas a lot?
Yeah. The fourth bullet point.
Sometimes the story evolves. You don't know.
Roll for bladder check.
Incontinence. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
In June of 2020, an amateur podcaster disappeared from the Carson National Forest while searching for the legendary Thin Treasure.
But he was adamant that he was onto something big. He was obsessed. He showed her some hand-drawn map to a treasure out in northern New Mexico.
The Subjective Truth is part treasure hunt, part paranormal docudrama. Starring Addison Peacock as Graham Anderson.
Back at home, I placed the box on the counter, and I just stared at it for a while. You'd never be able to guess its social impact on the human race by looking at its simplistic design.
UFOs, ghosts, reincarnation, and liars. This is The Subjective Truth. Subscribe now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.